Simmons stopped by Isaac in his tracks.
Ooh, good luck.
Beautifully delivered. A gorgeous play by Simmons.
Simmons an opportunity to make Gordon work on the defensive end. And he got it done. Then his fourth bucket in seven tries. Give him nine. Comes in averaging 17.
Yeah, NBA Strayer. How you going? That's right, man. It is NBA Strayer. It is Wednesday, March 6th. I am your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet beer money. And I'm here in Larry Armour Studios. We're back. I love it. Letting you know who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, of course, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball. In the NBA today, as we wrap up after every single day of NBA action, just while repping Strayer a little bit, mate. It's just what we do. All right, so big NBA day to cover. We had Gordon Hayward returning from the grave like he's in the fucking Walking Dead or something. The Rockets kept their win streak alive with a big win over the Raptors. Aaron Bangers Baines got into a Boogie Cousins. There's lots of stuff going on. It was awesome. So that'll all be covered with the usual dumbassery. If that's not a knife, old mate, no mate, spud of the night, better than Lonzo Ball. There's also Yeah Nah, the unpopular opinion of the day, and of course, Outback Takehouse, where we're serving up another flame grilled take. We've also got great moments in NBA Australia stat history. We check in with Australian G League guys to see how they're all going. And of course, as we do every show, we look ahead to tomorrow's games, check out the odds, make our picks, and preview all the games. And close out with a brand new Rowdy's Reco from Ryan Rowdy Brockoff, swinging by with a new life hack. Ah, it's going to be great. Trust me. I mean, it bloody well better. Come on, this is free. Settle down. All right, this is NBA Show episode 239. Let's go.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff. And you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Wah! You better. I better watch out for the attack of Gordon Hayward. Jesus, that came from nowhere, didn't it? Let's start today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Australia with the daily flip around. So Gordon Hayward, out of nowhere, there was a big story today about how he was working with mental health counselors to now, you know, get around the whole sort of mental problems of coming back to the NBA after that horrific injury at the start of last season. And he also apparently had to get pain injections for his back muscles because they'd atrophied because they hadn't been used in a year. So the poor bugger couldn't move. That was pretty wild. And then he came out today and smashed Golden State. Unreal stuff. We've got a little bit more movement on the Andrew Bogut front. Steph Curry spoke about Bogey today and said how it's like it's a blast from the past to get him back there and how he thought that he was really cynical, but he was really funny. Yeah, that sounds about right. That's how Americans all see Australians, like, oh, geez, this guy's a bit harsh, isn't he? We're just taking the piss, you dickheads. Settle down. You fucking big girls' blouses. All of them. Sit in a bar, give some bloke a bit of shit, and he wants to fucking fight you. It's like, dude, he's taking the piss. Would you settle the fuck down? Come on, mate. Settle the fuck down. Anyway, so Bogey is still looking like he's going to be on track to join the Golden State Warriors. And a bit of other news. Markel Fultz seems like the former number one overall pick who's now on. Don't forget, he's on the Orlando Magic. Yeah, I bet you forgot that. Got traded there at the trade deadline. Steve Clifford, Magic coach, came out and said Fultz probably won't finish rehabbing his shoulder in time to actually play this season for the Magic, saying he's still rehabbing his shoulder and he's not even able to really do much on the floor yet. It's a pretty significant shoulder injury. I would say he's starting to a little bit, but it would be difficult for him to get back this year. Yeah, it sounds about right. Classico. Also, I like that it's a pretty significant shoulder injury. Oh, yeah. It was so significant, no one knew what the fuck was going on. Classic. Injury news. No Clay for the Warriors today after his MRI and his knee came back negative. He's sitting out probably for a week or so. or at least maybe a game or two. I think it was day to day. And Kuzma for the Lakers is okay. He's out with a ankle sprain for about a week after he was cleared of any really, really serious damage. So that's pretty nice. Lakers will be able to make some more excuses as to why they're not going to make the playoffs when he comes back healthy. And it's like, oh, we're just trying to get him back into the flow, bro. And it's all screwed us again. Classic. All right, so let's wrap all the games for today. We had some corkers, actually. This was great. Wednesday, we had six games. Chicago lost in Indy, 105-96. The Bulls shot 38% and lost in a surprise twist. Zachy Cakes Levine had 27. Robin Lopez is on a tear. He had 20 and 9. 9 rebounds. Lowry, that's a girl's name, Markkanen, had 14 points on 4 of 14 shooting. Jesus. With 13 rebounds. And Otto, I like to get Blotto. Porter, he shot 3 of 11 for 7 points. Yeah, that'll do it. For the Pacers, Bojan Bogdanovic, he had 27 points. He shot 9 of 14. Absolute gun. 4 of 5 from 3. Darren Collison was amazing. 22 points, 10 points, 11 rebounds, and 7 blocks for Miles Turner. He is unreal. And Wes Matthews, 2 of 8 from 3, but still end up with 10 points. Good on you, Wes. Nice one. So Indy just keeping on cruising along. Third in the NBA, in the East. That is wild. Who would have thought that when they lost Victor Oladipo, that they'd still be in third, basically with, what, 20 games left? Less than 20 games? It's wicked. Good job, Indy. The Philadelphia 76ers hosted the Orlando... Oh, let's do their records, I guess. Indy are 42 and 23. Chicago, 18 and 47. Nice. Philly, as mentioned, they were hosting the Orlando Magic. 114-106, they were winners. Magic came all the way back in this, actually, to get it within a bucket late. But a Mike Scott 3 really basically put the kibosh on it all. Philly wrote it out and came away 8-point winners. So for the Magic, Air Gordon, as a Gordon, he had 24 points, 8 rebounds, and 3 assists. Vooch! Nikola Vucevic, he had 12 and 12. Johnny Isaac was pretty good. We'll talk about him later. Evan, don't Google me, Fournier, he had 25 too. For the Sixers, it was the JJ Redick show today. He went 6 of 9. Nice. From 3 for his 26 points. Big Simo, Ben Simmons, smashed it. 16, 13 and 8. We'll talk about him in the Australian Player Watch. Tobias, never nude Harris. He had 21, 12 and 5. He was really good. He and Simo had some very nice little hookups with some assisting from Simmons. Jimmy Butts, with his stupid do-rag. He had 14 points, 4 assists, and 3 steals. Amir Johnson got in on this as well. 13 points, 5 rebounds, and 2 blocks. Filling in for Joel Embiid. Gee, do you reckon they could use Andrew Bogut there in Philly? Anyway, and Mike Scott, the regional manager, as mentioned, 11 points, 5 rebounds, and a big 3 down the stretch. Orlando dropped to 30 and 36. It's a tough loss because that knocks them all the way back to 10th in the East behind the Heat as everyone's sort of jostling for position between 6 through 10. In the East there. So Brooklyn are back up to 33 and 33 and 6. So the Magic dropping that one to 33 and 36 really puts them sort of on the back foot. They're pretty much only a half game behind the Heat and the Hornets, but still, it's a tough one to overcome that. So anyway, there you go. And Philly, they're in fourth in the East, 41 and 23. Nice. Houston, as mentioned, beat Toronto in Toronto, 107-95. This was a huge, fun game. Rockets were up over 20 on the Raps. Raps got it all the way back and took the lead, which was nuts. And then the Rockets, they started hitting threes again, which is nice. You know, you got to hit threes on the odd occasion when you're the Rockets, and they really, really did. They got it just got wild on them pretty out of nowhere. So, but that was cool. Good game. Fun game. Fast Jimmy Harden was pretty great, but for the Raps, Kawhi. Yeah, 26 and 6. Pretty bloody good. Pascal Siakam at 17 and 10. He was very good. Danny Green, not the boxer. 14 points on 4 of 13 shooting, but it was big booty Kyle Lowry. And El Spignano, Marc Gasol, who really let down the Raps. Lowry went 4 of 16, including 0 of 5 from 3 to go with his 6 assists and 5 turnovers for 8 points. Well, Marc Gasol had 8 points, 1 rebound in 18 minutes. Ugh. I mean, if Toronto can't play Marc Gasol against, like, Clint Capela and co, I mean, fucking hell. Jeremy Lin, meanwhile, for the Raps, he had 2 points and went 1 of 5. He is 0 of 17 from 3 since he joined the Raptors. It's the opposite of insanity. I love it. For the Rockets, Fast Jimmy Harden had 35 points. He went 12 of 30 overall. 3 of 8 from three. Not bad. 3 assists. In the fourth quarter, though, he just really stepped up. 19 points on 6 of 7 shooting. He was unreal. And just drove the Rockets home. Eric Gordon, he had 13 points. Chris Paul shot 1 of 10 from the field for 5 points, but still had 10 assists. And the Rockets are like a crazy 23-1 or something when he has 10-plus assists. Pretty good. Geraldo Green, he had 18 points, 4 of 7 from 3. And Austin Punchable Rivers at 13 points as well. Toronto still sits second in the East with 46-19 as their record. And Houston are now all the way up to third in the fucking West. They're 39-25, which leaves them eager with the OKC Thunder and Portland Trailblazers after they lost today. But how's that, man? The Rockets were 11-14. They were in 14th spot. Remember this? We were yelling about it. Can they make the playoffs? Smash cut to now, 38 games later, they're 39-25 and in the 3 seed. That is fucking wild. It's because Portland lost in Memphis, 111-120. Memphis were down 16 early. They were still down 8 in the fourth quarter. And then Portland just decided to shit the bed like a little fucking rascally 2-year-old. That's right. Portland allowed fucking points on 14 straight possessions in the fourth quarter by Memphis. That is absolutely bananas. So the Blazers, they shot 53% and still lost. Yeesh. Tough game to lose as well. The Memphis game should be a bit of a gimme. We all know that they sort of played down, but they still scored 120. Portland should be better than that. CJ McCollum had 27 points on 9 of 13. Dame had a bit of a rough one. He had 24 and 8. Didn't shoot great, though. Don't be more hookless. He had 20 points. Nurk didn't shoot great. Had 6 points, but had 10 rebounds and 9 assists. Almost with a Jason Kidd triple-double. Nurk. Turkey's favorite son, Enos the Penis Cantor. He had 11 points on 4 of 4 shooting. And Spud Hood returned after going 27 points in his in the second half the other day. Went 1 of 5. Classic Rodney Hood. For the Grizzlies, though, they also shot 53%, but they won because of Mike Conley. He had a career-high 40 points, and it could have been more. He missed 5 free throws. It was wild. So he went 12 of 18 from the field, 6 of 7 from 3. 4 assists as well, was plus 15. He was unreal today. Darrell Wright had 25 points off the bench for the Grizz. Nice. 17 points from my name is Jonas Valanciunas. Avery Bradley had 14, and CJ Miles, the fellow traded in gentlemen as those last 4 guys had 12. Nice. Portland, as mentioned, so they're now 39-25. They drop all the way down to 5th, which is nuts. In the West, after that, you know, the Rockets winning and them losing, so brutal. And Memphis are 26-40, just going, fuck it. I mean, we should be tanking better, but fuck it. Ugh. What are you doing, Grizz? Anyway, OKC, as mentioned as well, they lost in Minnesota, 131-120. They were the Oklahoma City Thunder today because they played no fucking D. Minnesota scored 131, huge game. Paul George came back for the Thunder, 8 of 25 he shot. Kobe for his 25 points. Rusty Westbrook had a massive game, though, to sort of fill in the gaps, 38 points. 13 rebounds, 6 assists, crushed it, 5 of 28 from the field. Great Rusty game, and they wasted it. 5 of 10 from 3, only 2 turnovers. It was just the rest of the team couldn't do shit. The Kiwi Colossus, Steven Adams, had a blood nose. He's running around. He's like fucking filling up this tissue he's got pouring out of his head. It was unreal. He had 13, 11, 3 blocks. And Dennis Schröder, I am German, Schröder, had 14 points, 5 assists, and 4 rebounds, but just nothing else elsewhere, really. Tough one for the Thunder. For the Wolves, though, they couldn't just, like, beat the shit out of the OKC Thunder. They had to leave it up to like Andrew Wiggo Wiggins to have a good game, which was wild. 18-6-3. That's right. He actually did something else other than score. But this was big cat Carl Anthony Towns game, wasn't it? 30 minutes, 41, 14 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals. We'll talk about him in a second, but what a fucking game. El Jefe Teague, he had 16 points, 12 assists, and 5 rebounds. That was a huge game for El Jefe. 5 of 7 shooting. He was unreal. And Derrick Rose, 19 points, 8 of 14 shooting as well. While the homie, Dario Saric, went 10-7. So Minnesota, much needed win for them. They sit in 10th in the West with 30-34. OKC, as mentioned, they're in 4th in the West, 39-25. All tied up with the Rockets and Blazers. Nice one. Wolves, basically, what, ahead of the Lakers because of a better conference record, I assume, or head-to-head. And then finally, in an absolute shocker, the Boston Celtics fucking shit pumped the Golden State Warriors, 128-95, delivering the Warriors the worst loss of the franchise in the Steve Kerr era, which is bananas, all because Gordon Hayward, basically who had just been weekended burnied throughout this fucking Celtics season, had 19 points in the first half, which was wild. The Celtics were up 73-48 at the half and had 105 points through three fucking quarters. That, mate, is bananas. Absolutely bananas. I know that the Warriors had no Klay Thompson, but there's no excuse to let Boston run roughshod over you to the tune of like 33 fucking points. So that is just absolutely shocking. The Warriors, look, the coward Kevin Durant, he had 18 points, 5 of 16 shooting. Steph the Nerd Curry, he had 23 points on 8 of 16 shooting. Boogie tried to fight Aaron Bangers Baines, as mentioned, but it was because he was having a shit night, missed all 5 threes that he took, had 9 rebounds, 4 assists, had the tech as well. 5 fouls, it was just an all-round shitty night for Boogie, because Bangers would have ripped his fucking head off if it got any further. Draymond Green, continuing his sterling run of being shit, 5.6 rebounds, 5 assists. Took 3 shots. I don't know, man. Kind of feel like for Golden State to be Golden State, Draymond needs to be doing a little bit more. A little bit more shooting, a little bit more scoring, a little bit more assisting. But damn. Anyway, the Celtics, as mentioned, 105 through 3 quarters, which was absolutely bananas. Shot 14 to 34 from 3. They crushed it. And that was a lot thanks to Gordon Hayward. 30 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 blocks in only 28 minutes. Becomes the third player ever in the Boston Celtics to have 30 points off the bench 3 times in a season. The others were Kevin McHale and Ricky Davis. Nice. Got those Ricky Davis eyes. Kyrie Irving was fun to be around after the game. He was happy. Oh, and it's like, oh, I just needed a win, Kyrie. Why aren't you sulking now, you dickhead? Anyway, 19 points and 11 assists for Kyrie. Jason Tate and the rich man's Harrison Barnes had 17 points. Marcus Smart and Terry Rozier both had 9-4 and 9-5 respectively. Good stuff from them. The Celtics, just all-round performers everywhere. Like Mook Morris was good. It was just, you know, pretty bloody good, mate. Just pretty bloody good. It was pretty fun to watch as well. Like the Celtics just, they looked, it was like they'd Freaky Friday'd themselves and became like the actual Golden State Warriors, and the Golden State Warriors became the Celtics of the last little run. Like, it was nuts. I mean, Jaylen Brown had 18 points and 8 of 16 shooting. He was dunking on everyone. Jason Tatum was blocking Kevin Durant back to OKC. It was awesome. So, with all that in mind, look, Boston, they moved to 38-19. They're still 5th in the East, though. And Golden State, with that loss, oh, geez, watch out now. But, nah, they're still fine. They are 44-20 and 1.5 games up at the top of the West ahead of the Denver Nuggets. All right, let's do it. What was the NBA Australia Pro performance of the night, though?
That's a knife. That's a knife.
That's a knife. Ah, oh, Gordon Hayward. Fuck yeah, we got 3 winners this today. Gordon Hayward was just unbelievable. And especially after the news came out about him, you know, needing to look after his mental health and then, you know, not having all these, you know, weird things going on with his back. So for him to come out and crush it like he did is absolutely unreal. Gordo, 30 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 blocks in 28 minutes. He was unreal. Mike Conley, though, a career-high 40 points. He was unbelievable in the fourth quarter as well. He had 18 points, was perfect from the field, going 6 of 6 to beat the Blazers. He was unstoppable. There was just a couple of times where he was like, oh, I'm just going to throw up this 3 and get fouled, and we're just going to win this game. That's what happened. On you, Mike. But also Karl Anthony Towns, 41 points in 30 minutes, 15 of 27 from the field, 3 of 5 from 3, 14 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals. Since Tibbs was fired, Cat's averaging a 28-12, shooting 57% from the field and 42% from 3. He's had 4 30-plus and 30-plus point and 10-plus rebound games in his last 5. He scored 180 points over his last 5 games. That's the best 5-game stretch in team history. That's right, he plays for the Wolves, where that's where Kevin Garnett played. Unbelievable. So good job, Karl Anthony Towns. Good job, Mike Conley. Good job, Gordo, Gordon Hayward. You are the NBA Australia Approved Performances of the Night. What about old mate, no mates, though?
Old mate, no
mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Who's got no mates today?
Oh, how about Kevin Durant getting heckled by his own fan base? This is great. He had two turnovers, missed a shot, and a fan yelled, "Hey, Kevin, you're still on this team." Brilliant. Oh, man. I love that. Look, we've got heaps of drama in Boston. We've got heaps of drama in LA with the Lakers. It would be amazing if we get some more drama just sparking off with the Warriors, wouldn't it? KD just sort of having a bit more of a sulk. Clay's injured. They sort of just getting a little bit squirrely. That'd be fun as hell. But anyway, moving on. Spud of the night.
Spud, 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 it is spud of the night.
Spud of the night. Could be Chris Paul. 1 of 10 is absolutely shocking, but still gave out, you know, 10 assists and everything, and they still won. So let's give this to the duo, the hapless duo of Lowry. That's a girl's name, Markkanen. 14 points on 4 of 14 shooting. And Atto, I like to get Blutto Porter. 3 of 11, yep, to combine to go 7 of 25 is pretty gross. And 21 points as well between the two of you as you lost. Look, come on, guys. You're playing Indy without their best player. You can't hit a couple of shots. Turns out, no, you couldn't. So you're the spuds of the night. And what else? Pantsing of the evening goes to, look, Portland. I mean, that was brutal to give up so many. They just shit the bed pretty hardcore. But Kevin Durant getting sunned by Jason Tatum, where Jason Tatum blocked Kevin Durant's shot and kept the ball in this sort of similar way that Kristaps Porzingis once did to the Brooklyn Nets. That was pretty brutal as well, and just a sincere pantsing of the highest order. And obviously for the Warriors to lose to the Celtics in the worst loss of the Steve Kerr era as part of that, that's just on national TV. That's a pantsing. Tough one. And finally, who was better than Lonzo Ball today?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're gonna get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros, now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
We're coming for everybody by sitting out and not playing very much. All right, Lonzo. All right, so better than Lonzo Ball. Slim pickings today. But look, Johnny Isaac down there for the Orlando Magic. He scored pretty nicely. He 16 points, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 block, 6 of 12 from the field, 4 of 8 from 3. That is unreal. And also, you know, he's just dropping these sorts of games on the reg now. He had 16 and 6 against the Knicks last Wednesday. He had back-to-back 12-point game, 12 and 8 versus Indy. Pretty bloody good. And of course, better than Lonzo Ball. I mean, to go 4 of 8 from 3-point land, that's definitely better than Lonzo Ball, who currently, for his entire career, is shooting, 31.5% from the 3-point line. So, good job, Johnny Isaac. And, you know, us here at NBA, so I don't mind keeping a quick little eye on some of the old, former lottery picks. And Johnny Isaac, pretty excited about him. You know, 6th-round pick, 2 years ago? And his now career 3-point percentage is basically higher than Lonzo Ball, 31.7 versus 31.5. So there you go. Johnny Isaac, officially better than Lonzo Ball. All right, we're back in a second with Yeah Nah, right after this.
This is David Anderson. You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, we're back. It's time for Yeah Nah, where we take a bunch of NBA storylines and decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. Number one, is Masai Ujiri right? Having Kawhi for one season will have been worth it because you get a chance to convince him to kick it with you guys. Oh, yeah, nah. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty cool, man. I like that they rolled the dice and traded for Kawhi because, you know what, fuck it. Go for it. Get the better player. Spend a year convincing him that it's cool to hang out with Drake in Canada. Because when Masai was asked about the potential risk of losing Kawhi this offseason, he said, well, I'd rather have the free agent in our organization for 1 year rather than have a one-hour pitch. I don't know how much of a chance we have with a one-hour pitch. I mean, that's awesome. I love this idea. The same sort of thing happened when, you know, the Thunder traded for Paul George and Paul George decided he fucking liked it and stuck around and now they're still relevant. Whereas he had a bounce, sure, it would have been a shit show, but here we are. So look, I like the idea of Toronto doing it. It's obviously working out pretty well. They're the second seed, so good job, Toronto. Next up, is Pat Beverley right? Are the Clips the best LA team? I mean, yeah, nah, yeah. They are, by record. As he said, women lie, men lie, numbers don't.
Pat Bev also walked past all the media after the Clippers-Lakers game yesterday and said, what are y'all doing over here? The locker room is that way, pointing towards the Clippers locker room, saying, there ain't nothing in there, pointing to the Lakers. Pat Beverly, you're a fucking legend. I love it. He also talked a bit of shit about LeBron, about how he was like basically, drafted by the Heat. And they kicked him off the team basically when LeBron was there. Well, when LeBron rocked up and the Lakers had him and they got rid of him as well. And yeah, he's a fighter. I love Pat Bev. And you know who'd be really good on the Lakers right now? Patrick Beverly. Next one. Should the Lakers, considering their record at the moment, consider tanking? Oh, yeah, no! It's a close-run thing. Yeah, nah, Luke, a couple of games away from it. They're one game away from having a 20% chance at a top four pick in this year's draft. They're 2-5 since LeBron activated his playoff mode. They have the third worst record since the start of January. It's wild, and according to some different outlets, they have a less than 1% chance of making the playoffs. Their lottery odds aren't great at the moment either, so they need to tank. They've got 18 games left. Should they try to catch, like, the Wizards? They're 26-37. Lakers are 30-34. Because if they get a little bit further down, they go from 5% to 32% with their lottery odds. Like it. Get around it, Lakers fans. Embrace the tank. Hashtag the process. All right, let's do the unpopular opinion of the day. And we're going to do some three quarter of the season. It's Dunsky Awards. Right now.
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
Look at me. These are the unpopular opinions, I guess, if you want to call them that, for our three-quarter of the season awards. MVP, your NBA MVP so far through three quarters of the season is fucking Giannis Antetokounmpo. Not James Harden. The Bucks are 48-16. Yes, James Harden has been very good. The Rockets are 39-25, and he was shit at the start of the year. Yes, he was very good after that. But you know he's been really good the entire fucking time? Giannis. That's why he's number one. Paul George is third. Rookie of the year goes to Luka Doncic. He is still smashing it. Remember, Trae Young was shit for 30 games. He's been good for the next 30 games. That gets him second. And coming in third of rookie of the year, three quarters of the way through the season, DeAndre Ayton. Surprisingly good. That's he overtook Jaren Jackson Jr., Triple J, since Triple J got injured. And Ayton has come a long way defensively in the last sort of month or two. So, yeah, I've liked watching him. Defensive player of the year, I'm going to give this to Paul George. That's right. He's third in the MVP voting. He's my defensive player of the year as well. The Thunder's defense is just unreal. Absolutely crushing it at the moment. So, look, well, they have, you know, they've been crushing it all season. And a lot of it's to do with him. So, look, I can't really go Rudy Gobert. I've got him at second, and that's pretty cool. But for the same, you know, same sort of way, like, Paul George has probably got a rougher time. He's on the perimeter. Rudy Gobert, it's like, yes, I'm the Stifle Tower. Just go out there and, like, you know, be okay, I guess, at blocking shots and anchoring the defense, but Paul George is chasing around like really good scorers and playing really fucking well. And the OKC defense for most of this year has been really good. So give me Paul George at the moment over Rudy. That might change as Rudy, you know, amps it up and Utah just really cranking the gear. But Paul George is right there at the moment. And I've got Miles Turner third. He's just been shooting up. He's been really fucking good, like basically the last month and a half since Wigdor went out. Miles Turner's been doing good things. Most improved player is Pascal Siakam. That's pretty easy. I've got John Collins next at number two. And number three is your pick between D'Angelo Russell, De'Aaron Fox, Buddy Steph Curry Hill, Trae Young, or even Giannis Antetokounmpo if you want to throw him in there as well. But at the same time, if you're a top 10 pick, you're supposed to be good. So you don't get credence in my most improved player because it's like, yeah, your improvement from year one to year two should be marked and so should year two through three. Whereas dudes like Pascal Siakam, when they weren't rated, now they're actually out there going, fuck, is he an all-star? And same with John Collins, we go, holy shit, this guy was like way down draft boards and he's kicking ass and Atlanta might have found themselves something. That's much better for most improved. Same goes for Spencer Dinwiddie until he got hurt. He was right up there too. And, you know, those sorts of dudes, that's where most improved comes down to it. Coach of the year, I've got Buds coaching Milwaukee. I hear it's Algonquin for the Goodland to the best record in the NBA. after a shit show of a coach in Jason Kidd there for years. Pretty good. Mike Malone's number two with the Denver Nuggets. And I've got Nick Nurse, number three, taking over Toronto. And not coach of the year is not Brad Stevens. Nice one. Finally, sixth man of the year, I've got Montrezl Harrell for the Clips ahead of D-Rose. Yes, D-Rose, that's wild. And DeMar Souvlaki King Sabonis. Oh, yeah, combination meat. Thanks, DeMar. Cheers, mate. Julius Randle would have been up there, but he's started too much now. And I feel like just Montrez is fucking unstoppable. D-Rose, yeah, he still has some pretty good nights, some pretty rough ones. Montrez is really consistent. And I'm just going to not have Lou Will on here because that's boring. Nice one. All right, and finally, it's Wednesday. And you know what that means? Come on in to Outback Takehouse because on Wednesdays, we have West Sydney Razorback Ribs cooked by West Sydney Razorback legend Derek Rucker. And they go great with a flame grilled take. And today's flame grilled take is the Warriors tanked today's Boston Celtics game knowing that they didn't want to show all their plays and all their cards because they're afraid of seeing the Celtics in the NBA Finals. Light years ahead are the Warriors. Only at Outback.
I mean, sure.
Maybe. I'm not sure if I believe that one. Anyway, Australian Player Watch right after these ones.
G'day. This is Joe Ingles, and you're listening to NBA Straya.
All right, Australian Player Watch, let's do it. Big Sumo Ben Simmons today against the Orlando Magic. 16 points, 13 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals and a block. Shot 6 of 15 from the field. He was very good. Jonah Bolden on those self-same sixes didn't play because he's dealing with sinusitis. That sucks. Brutal. Get better soon, Jonah. No Utah or Cavs game, so no Deli or Jingles or Patty Thrills or Thon Song. But we did have Aaron Bangers Baines obviously out there. Crushing it and trying his hardest to to fight Boogie, which is pretty cool. So Bangers, look, ended up okay. Wasn't too great. 14 minutes, 0 of 1 from the field. That was a 3 that he launched, but he had 5 rebounds, 3 assists. He was a plus 7, and he got under Boogie's skin. What more could you ask for? Very little, mate. Very little. No Dallas game either, so no Ryan Rowdy Brockoff. So let's check in with the G League guys quickly, shall we? It's Wednesday. That means it's hump day. So we check in on Isaac Humphries and the rest of the G League Aussie guys. So Isaac Humphries with the Erie Bayhawks in a loss to the Capital City team. He had 13 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists and a block. And in a following loss to the Lakeland Magic, had 16 points, 11 rebounds and a block. Hump day. He's crushing it. Playing pretty bloody well as Isaac Humphries. Deng Adel down there with a Canton charge in a win over his old team, the Raptors, 905. He had 20 and 10, did Deng. Pretty bloody good. And a loss to the Austin Toros. He had 5 points, 2 of 7 shooting, 5 rebounds and 1 steal. And in a loss to Long Island Nets and Mitchie Creek, he had 17 points, 9 rebounds and 1 assist. Pretty bloody good. And speaking of Mitch Creek, in the win over the Delaware Bluecoats, he had 10 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. A win over the Greensboro Hornets, he had 23 points. Shot 7 of 13. Had 4 rebounds, 1 steal and a block as well. And then win over the Canton Charge and Dengadal. He had 12 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists and 2 steals. That is unbelievable. Just everywhere. Good job. Great week for the Aussies in the G League. All right, it's Wednesday. You know what we do on Wednesdays, don't you? It's time for great moments in NBA Australia. Stat history.
Great moments in NBA Australia stat history.
Ah, yes, it is a great moment in NBA Australia stat history because Australia's greatest ever basketball player, not named Matthew Dellavedova, had an NBA career high on this very day 20 years ago. That's right, the Grey Mamba, Andrew Gazy Gaze, the Aussie Larry Bird, tied his NBA career high, which was actually, weirdly enough, with identical shooting splits, that he set 5 years prior to that with the Washington Bullets, almost to the very day, which was absolutely unreal. So Gazy shot 4 times, all of them were 3-pointers, in a game against the Los Angeles Clippers for his San Antonio Spurs, and he was absolutely unreal. He hit 2 of them, so he ends up with 6 points, 2 rebounds, and an assist. Now, Gazy obviously didn't play too much in the old NBA, but this was his longest on-court stint that he'd have for the Spurs for 9 minutes. But he got out there, and his per 36 numbers, if you extrapolate that, 24 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists. I mean, that's exactly what you'd expect from the Aussie Larry Bird. That's classic Gazy numbers, isn't it? What are you doing, mate? So there you go, 6 points, 2 rebounds and assists for Andrew Gazy Gaze on this very day, 20 years ago. It's a little bit of a celebration for the legend in his Kmart Signature Edition Dunlop Gazy ones, stepping away from coaching the Sydney Kings. On you, Gazy, you absolute bloody legend. Now, that is a great moment in NBA Australia's history, if there's ever one. His NBA career high. On you, Gazy. All right, we'll be back in a second with the Patty Mills Game Day Baller, Game Day Twitter check and inspiration board and some game previews right after this.
G'day, this is PDX Pete. When I'm not sipping on IPAs or throwing down voodoo donuts, I'm tuning in to NBA Australia. Fuck yeah.
This is Andrew Bogut, and you are listening to NBA Straya. Right, we're back. It's time for the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in / inspiration board. And look, Patty, you got to get out there and be more inspiring, mate. You haven't tweeted for a couple of weeks, and it's killing me. But Big Simo Ben Simmons has been tweeting out on the odd occasion. And most of them have been snorting emojis, and that's what today's Twitter check-in / inspiration board is. I'm going to take this as an inspiration, because all Simo did was tweet out the snorting emoji. And I assume it's like after a workout, or him with a head full of steam, maybe he's done some shoot-around, he's like getting all amped up for a game, and not him being pissy about something that's happened, which is what it can also mean, I guess. So there you go, Big Simo Ben Simmons with his snorting emoji is our inspiring tweet of the day. Sure. All right. Let's get into the game previews because we've got a massive game tomorrow. Well, game? Massive day of games tomorrow. Let's do it.
Game previews. Game previews.
Thanks, Inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem. I love the weather in Melbourne today as well. It's cold and dreary and rainy. I mean, I grew here. You were born here.
But yeah, I know how to deal with it.
Well, what do you do?
Stay inside, mate. Stay inside. All right, let's get into the game previews for tomorrow. And have a look at all the odds and everything. We've got Miami visiting the Charlotte Hornets. Hornets are 2.5-point favorites at home. It's a bit of a weird one. Because I'm not entirely convinced the Hornets are that much better than the Heat. And the standings basically have that laid out in exactly what I just said. So 2.5-point favorites, Charlotte over Miami. They're tied in the standings. Are you going to give them 2.5 points for being at home? Charlotte, you know what? Give me the Heat. Getting points against the Charlotte Hornets. Even on the road, I feel like Miami might come in and kung fu kick them. Yeah. Miami just a little bit tougher. Charlotte, though, do have random games where they sort of just pop off and are pretty good. And what's their home record? Let's have a look. Home, they're 20-13. But Miami, 15-16 on the road. Yeah, look, just give me the Heat. Getting points, 2.5 points, I'll take that. All right, Mavs, they go to Washington. And the Wizards are 5.5-point favorites over the Mavs, and fuck that. The Wizards are a rabble. The Mavs aren't entirely sure what they're doing at the moment, but I'll take the +5.5. They lost to Brooklyn in despairingly bad fashion the other night. They lost their last two games by a combined 69 points. I expect a bit of a bounce back here from and a big game from Luka Doncic. So +5.5, give me the Mavs there. The Wolves travel to Detroit basketball, and they are 5-point underdogs on the road in Detroit. I might take the Wolves, actually, against the Pistons. +5. Look, they might not win, but I think they'll just cover. And, give me the +5 against the Wolves. You've got big Karl Anthony Towns going against Andre Drummond. The Wolves are fighting for a playoff spot, and so are the Pistons. Wolves can't afford to drop anything, so even if they're traveling, it's not too far from Mini down to Detroit. So, look, give me the Wolves. +5 seems a little bit wild. The Spurs go to Atlanta to take on the Hawks. They are 6-point favorites on the road, and I might take the Hawks +6 at home. I think they will bombard the Spurs and make it a bit of a shootout. The Spurs will probably win, but I think the Hawks might keep it within about 5 or 6. So +6, give me that. The Cavs travel to Brooklyn to play the Nets. The Nets are 9-point favorites. That's right, 9-point favorites over Cleveland. And I'll take the -9 for the Nets. I think they will crush the Cavs because it's, I don't know, it's Cleveland.
Cleveland!
Give me the Nets. Jazz, they take on the Pelicans. I reckon it'll be the Pelicans tomorrow. +4.5 for the Pelicans. Underdogs at home. I'll take the Jazz -4.5. I think they crush the Pelicans. Sixers travel to Chicago after playing today. So on a back-to-back, the Sixers are -5.5 favorites on the road in Chicago. Look, Bulls also on a back-to-back, so give me the Sixers. They're just the better team. -5.5. I think they kick the crap out of the Bulls. They're just much better defensively. The Knicks travel to Phoenix. And Phoenix are actually favorite home. It's the two worst teams in the NBA by record at the moment. That is absolutely wild, isn't it? You've got 13-51 Knicks taking on the 14-51 Suns. Two losers enter, two losers exit still. Give me the Suns -3.5. They've been playing pretty good lately. Celtics travel to Sacramento after shit pumping the Warriors. They're half point favorites over the Kings. I might take the Celtics. They may have found something. And this would be the typical flex game where they go, fuck yeah, we're really good all of a sudden. And then finally, the Nuggets travel to LA to take on the Lakers, and they are 4.5 point favorites against the Lakers on the Lakers court. Give me the Nuggets. I don't think the Lakers have a fucking chance in hell at winning this game, and the Nuggets shit pump them. And you know what? That's it for today. Awesome. Can't wait to see that Nuggets-Lakers game. That's going to be un-bloody real. I mean, who's going to fucking defend Nikola Jokic? JaVale McGee? Anyway. All right, so we're going to wrap all those games for you tomorrow when we're back with all the usual ridiculousness. In the meantime, make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that sort of stuff. Get around NBAAustralia.com. Chuck us a big rating and review, would you, on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher. Follow us on Spotify. But just smash those 5-star reviews, would you? It helps out heaps. Really appreciate it. Also, tell a mate. Go on, we're back daily. Come on, I'm putting the hard yards, so can you. Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song, but go check out their new band, House Hats. They've got a new album out March 29. They're launching it at the Old Bar, April 12. I will be there. I'll see you there. House Hats, they're the best band in Australia, especially considering we can't listen to Smith Street Band anymore. Also, big thanks to Fascinator, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, and Green Green Green, as well as Dozers for all the tunes you heard throughout NBA Australia. Give them a smash on Bandcamp and Facey, wherever else you find them. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands, and that is it. Stick around for a new Rowdy's Reco, as we have Ryan Rowdy Brockoff delivering a life hack. Can't wait. And we will catch us tomorrow, you dickheads. That's right. This is NBA Australia saying, Lederhosen! Oh, hello there, friends. It's Ryan Rowdy Brockoff here, back for the latest installment of Rowdy's Recos, where I, Ryan Rowdy Brockoff, try to help you live a little bit more of a stress-free life. I mean, after all, I survived playing in Russia, where I once got a week's pay in the form of coupons to a BP. There's not even a BP in Russia. So, I've dealt with my share of ridding myself of stress. Okay, so, are you centered? Are you feeling good? Because this week's Rowdy's Reco is really simple. When life is stressing you out, there's a really easy way to relax yourself, and it's great for you and the environment. All you need to do is some gardening. That's right, doesn't matter if it's in your veggie patch out the back in the backyard, or a little pot on your table at work or at home, or on a windowsill or on a bench. Just the process of gardening, watching something grow under your care, is one of the most relaxing things in the world. Weeding, watering, coaxing it up. It's just a stress reliever of the highest order. All your worries wash away. And if you've got a backyard, you get to wear a funny hat while you're doing it, if that floats your boat. And look, I know that when I was in Russia, I couldn't garden much, but I still had a tiny little pot of basil in my apartment. And when I made pizza that one time I got paid in flour and water and tomato sauce, it was really, really, really relaxing. So there you go. It's simple. Feeling tired, feeling stressed, just get in the garden. Sink your hands in the soil and let the relaxing vibe of nature wash all over you, ridding yourself of the day's stress. Okay, so that's our rowdy reco for this week. We'll have another one for you next week. And until then, I've been Ryan Rowdy Brockhoff. Keep living your best life, and namaste.